I'm Mike Breen, Public Awareness Officer for the American Mathematical Society, and I'm speaking with Mac Hyman, who's in the Mathematical Modeling and Analysis Division at Los Alamos National Laboratory, and as we're recording, this is also at Tulane University, and we're talking about how math can help with the study and stop the spread of infectious diseases, and one of the basic tools is the SIR model. Mac, could you tell us what that basic tool is, and it's been around for a long time. Is it still useful?
Yes, it has. It's what the basic tool is. It divides the population into three groups: those that are susceptible to being infected by a disease, such as the swine flu, or HIV/AIDS, or something; those that are infected by the disease and are capable of passing it to others; and then those that, either through vaccination or being past infections, are in the recovered state, so they're no longer able to be infected. And by essentially modeling people on the computer, similar to what's used, say, in Second Life or SimCity, but having it much closer to reality, we can look at how the disease spreads on the computer and then do virtual experiments to find out how we can slow the spread of disease or hopefully stop the epidemic entirely in its tracks.
The techniques might be with vaccinating various groups or, you might say, sequestering people, things like that.
We can look at the effectiveness of, say, if you have a limited number amount of vaccine, like we'll have in this season's swine flu. If you want to minimize the number of cases, what's the most effective way to distribute that vaccine? If you randomly vaccinate people, there's something we call herd immunity. You don't have to vaccinate everyone to stop an epidemic. And you may have to vaccinate as many as 80% of the population to really have herd immunity if you randomly just pick people out and vaccinate them. But if you selectively vaccinate people that have a lot of contacts first, so vaccinate people that go to school, vaccinate bus drivers, door clerks, anyone that comes in contact with a lot of people, it appears you only have to vaccinate half as many people in order to stop the disease. And this result, this factor of two, was discovered through the mathematical modeling.
What are the subjects of mathematics that are behind this mathematical modeling, like graph theory or differential?
Okay, well, there are different types of mathematical models. The traditional type is based on ordinary differential equations. So it's a lot of dynamical systems to understand when the solution for a differential equation grows, which would indicate the epidemic is growing, when it decays. You can look at when there are certain critical points or tipping points in the population, which an epidemic would take off if you cross it. So that's mostly traditional, ordinary, and partial differential equation mathematical analysis. In the last two decades, we've started going over from modeling in the continuum to modeling the discrete, where you actually model individual people on the computer, where you can put in specific traits such as their behavior, their resistance to being infected, their infectivity after they are infected. And you typically, you'll model these people as a network. So an individual might be a node on a graph, and the people that he has contact with, those would be edges to other nodes on the graph. And it would be a weighted graph, and the weight of the edge would be dependent upon the length of contact between the two people. And so for these type of models, we do need graph theory, we need network theory, and then often the number of contacts changes during the day in a stochastic manner. And so then we also need to understand stochastic equations, what are often called Monte Carlo Markov chain type models.
And the level of detail in these models is pretty amazing. How many minutes someone would spend at one place as opposed to another, and how many people they see at those places?
Well, it is amazing, and the only reason we're able to do this for epidemiology is because we can build on other large-scale simulations that have been developed since the mid-90s. For example, the Department of Transportation has been interested in optimizing where do you put new roads into cities. If you're going to put a light rail into a city, where can you put it so it's most effective at moving the people? And to model these transportation issues, they literally have built virtual cities. The first city we work with is Portland. So they had almost 200,000 buildings, 1.8 million people, and they literally had a city running through its normal activities. The parents would go to work, the kids would go to school, weekends they would go shopping, they meet other people. So we have this background, really, SimCity on steroids going. And instead of putting in a new light rail system or putting in a new interstate through town, we said, well, let's let the town stay where it is, and we'll model an epidemic spreading. Say a mom comes in from a business trip infected with the flu. She comes home, infects her children. Our children go to school and affect other children. We can now model this on a micro scale that was never dreamed possible a few decades ago. And so we can look at a level of detail. This becomes our experimental tool in much the same way that a physicist might have, you know, a large accelerator as an experimental tool. So we can use this as a tool to do experiments and ask what if questions. You know, what if we vaccinated all the bus drivers immediately in the city? Would that have any impact on the spread of an epidemic? Also, we can ask how come questions. So we can look at past epidemics and try to understand why they spread the way they did in this virtual reality. And essentially gain understandings that our cruder models that we've been using for the past century were not able to give us the same insight.
That's Mac Hyman, who's in the Mathematical Modeling and Analysis Division at Los Alamos National Laboratory and currently at Tulane University. And in part two of this interview, Mac will talk about some of the specifics of swine flu and also how math is improving modeling in many areas.